Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today's message comes from the Old Testament reading of Daniel and the gospel readings that you've heard a few moments ago. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there is nothing like Easter. I mean, I know that Christmas gets all the hype around the world because so many people celebrate it. Even if they aren't celebrating Christ being born, they're giving and receiving gifts. And I know that I just gave your children empty gift bags this morning. But man, there is nothing better than Easter. Christmas doesn't have the buildup like Easter does. There's no Palm Sunday, no journey to Jerusalem, though Mary and Joseph do journey to Bethlehem. There's no Maundy Thursday with the Lord's Supper being instituted. There's no Good Friday. I mean, the reality of knowing that Jesus came for us, out of love for us. And we see the weight of our sin laid upon Jesus, that he died for us in our place, loved us to the end of his earthly life, loved us enough to be our sacrifice, and continues to love us still, despite all of our sins and failures. And then we see him buried, we see him placed in the tomb, it is sealed up, and then there is silence. But it's silent anticipation, because we know what's coming. And I told you Friday that the love of Jesus for you, for me, always has the victory. And I said that I'd see you Sunday, and Sunday is here. And hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. There is nothing like Easter because of the empty tomb. And as I think about that, all I've thought about is picturing Peter, seeing Jesus transfigured on the mountain, and he says, "It is good, Lord, to be here. It is good to be here on Easter Sunday as we celebrate the resurrected Christ." Now, you may have heard the Old Testament reading today and thought to yourself, why in the world am I hearing about Daniel and lions on Easter? Well, thank you for asking. Let me tell you why. As we continue to read through the Bible in these 2 years, we're still in the Old Testament. And I don't think there is a better story to parallel the Easter story than Daniel and the lions. So God willing, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will see how beautiful this connection is. So Daniel, the exile from Judah, had become prominent in the kingdom of the Medes and Persians, who had conquered the Babylonians. As a result, the presidents, the satraps, the prefects, the counselors, the governors seek to destroy Daniel because he has become more distinguished above all of the other officials outside of the king. And so they get the king to establish this order to trap him. Them knowing that Daniel was a religious man made it so they could not pray. He could not pray to God for 30 days. Otherwise, he's thrown into the lion's den. So what does Daniel do? Right after that this is made a law, he openly prayed to God 3 times a day with his windows open. So he knew exactly what he was doing. He was not afraid of the consequences. And there are some that think this praying 3 times a day was in honor of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Man, how bold is Daniel in this moment to openly acknowledge who he is by his faith in God. Today, you all have come here, and you're openly acknowledging your faith in the risen Christ. Now, unfortunately, the windows are not open, No one sees us worshiping, praying. I mean, they may see the cars in the parking lot. But how will they know? Unless we take what we have here and share it with the world. How will the world know about Christ unless we tell them? Today we pray for Daniel's boldness and faithfulness to God. But we aren't always faithful like Daniel. We aren't always bold like Daniel. We're sinners, also like Daniel. We just don't see Daniel's sin obviously today. But just because we can't see sin doesn't mean it's not there. And we can all look inside of ourselves and we know what our sin is. Deep down, we know what's there. We know the times where we are pressured to conform like the rest of the world. And rather than be bold with our windows open and proclaim who we are as God's dearly loved people to the world, we shrink. We close the curtains. We lock the doors. We shut our lips. And we pretend like we are the rest of the world so that no one can see who we really are in case we face the consequences. But it's in those moments where we have not shown the world who God has called us to be. We have shown the world that we are no different than them and that we have sinned. And that's because we're sinners. But the good news is Jesus dies for sinners. Sinners like me, sinners like you. He dies for the entire world. But before Jesus got to Good Friday, he was doing things in public for all to see. His miracles, his teachings. He wasn't hiding who he was as the Son of God. And as a result, he had the chief priests, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the scribes, all out to get him. They wanted to crush Jesus. They were looking for a way to kill him. And when they got Jesus arrested, it was the beginning of the end for him. At least that's what they thought. So too with Daniel. As the officials run to the king to tell him about this exile of Judah, praying three times a day to his God. And the king, King Darius, he liked Daniel. He liked him so much so that he tried to find a way to deliver him. All day and night, he spent trying to figure out how he could rescue Daniel. But the official said, "The law that you signed yourself can't be changed. You gotta do it." After Jesus is arrested, he's brought before Pilate, and Pilate finds nothing wrong in him. And he seeks to free Jesus, to deliver him. But the officials say, "If you set him free, you are no friend of Caesar." I mean, and that could mean Pilate's death. So Pilate washes his hands of Jesus' blood. But he still sends him to be crucified. Daniel is sent to his death for praying to the one true God. Jesus is sent to his death for claiming to be the one true God. Now, all we're told about Daniel is that he is brought and cast into the lion's den. We're not told how Daniel goes, but I imagine he went willingly, unafraid. And since we're not told how, we might even be able to say that Daniel goes silently, accepting his fate, knowing that if it is God's will to deliver him, then he will. And if Daniel didn't say it, well, King Darius says it for him. Jesus goes to his death. In the words of Isaiah, "Like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." And we know that Jesus has already prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane at this point to be delivered from the cup of God's wrath, but that it be God's will And we know that it is not God's will to deliver Jesus from his wrath on the cross. And so Jesus' fate is sealed as Pilate hands him over to death to be crucified. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, who is the sacrificial lamb, is given unto death. Daniel's fate is sealed as King Darius puts him in the lion's den and then seals it shut with a stone, expecting that the lions will do what they are supposed to do, expecting them to bring about Daniel's death. It is in Jesus' death that a stone is placed in the tomb, which is then sealed up. And they are expecting Jesus' body to stay there. The next morning, at the break of day, at dawn, King Darius, who loved Daniel, runs to the den and is expecting this now to be Daniel's tomb. He obviously gets the stone moved away, and in anguish and agony, hoping against all hope that Daniel is alive, he calls out, "Daniel, did your God deliver you from the lions? Did your God deliver you from certain death?" We don't know how much time passes by, but Daniel then says, "God sent an angel to close the lion's mouth. I am unharmed because I was found blameless before God." Now, we don't get all the details of how it went down, so you can imagine Daniel being thrown into the den, and maybe he does have his Gethsemane moment where he prays that God's will be done as he's staring at the faces of all of these hungry lions who want to devour him. And then God sends his angel who closes up their mouths. God delivered Daniel from death because death is not what he deserved. On Easter Sunday, the women who love Jesus and whom Jesus loved, they go to the tomb at dawn, at the break of day, and they have a conversation about who will roll the stone away. They have no hope that Jesus has been delivered from death because they saw him dead. Some of those women were at the cross. They're going there to prepare Jesus' body for permanent burial because they didn't get to do it before the Sabbath came. Except there was no preparation to be done. The stone had already been rolled away. And while Jesus' body had not been unharmed because of Good Friday, Jesus had been delivered from permanent burial, delivered from death. And there is an angel who was there to give those women the message that he was now in his glorified state, that he is not in the tomb. He is risen just like he said. Jesus overcame death because death is not what he deserved. It's what we deserve for all of our sins. But Jesus is blameless, sinless, holy, and because he was the perfect sacrifice and his death was acceptable to God to pay the price for the sins of the whole world, drinking all of God's wrath to the bitter end, enduring hell for us, Jesus rose from the dead. Both Jesus and Daniel had unexpected outcomes from a worldly perspective. For Daniel, when the den was opened, he was quite alive and unharmed. For Jesus, the stone had already been rolled away and he was not there. And he also was not dead. He was quite alive and he is now in his resurrected, in his glorified state. And the only thing left on his body are the scars in his hands and his feet and his side. Daniel overcomes the forces of evil as the mouths of lions are shut by the angel. And in the end, the script is flipped as the one who sought the death of Daniel, Daniel's enemies, are the ones who are defeated and given death as they end up in the lion's den. And on Easter Sunday, Jesus flips the script, even though it actually began on Good Friday. As soon as Jesus dies, He overcomes the forces of evil because he is the one true God. And in his death and resurrection, the angel opens his mouth and proclaims to the women that, "Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia." Just like he said. And in that resurrection, sin, death, hell, and the devil are the ones who are defeated. It is in fact the fulfilling of a long prophesied promise. The first promise ever given by God. The first gospel given right after Adam and Eve sinned. The promise of the Savior Jesus who would come and crush the serpent's head. Satan. It is a fatal blow. And while that image is fitting today, there's an image I like better in today's context. We've heard plenty of times that the serpent, the enemy, Satan, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He wants you to turn away from your faith. He wants you to die in unbelief with him. He wants you to suffer hell because that's what he's suffering. But Satan is not the only one who is described as a lion, because there is a lion who wants you to live. To live eternally with him. And that is the Lion of Judah, who has triumphed over death and the grave, and who has called you to be his own through his word, through the water and the word in baptism. And he calls you today to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood in his supper for the forgiveness of your sins, for the strengthening of your faith, and for your salvation. And that roaring lion, Satan, who is looking for souls to devour, is devoured by the Lion of Judah, the conquering king, the conquering lion, the true Lion King. And he did it with his death and resurrection. He healed the broken. He righted the wrong. He brought forgiveness for our sins. He opened the door to eternal life for all who believe. And not just the hope of eternal life, but the reality that you who believe have eternal life right now. It is yours. And you will rise on the last day because, alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. There is nothing like Easter. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.